Hello there, friends. Welcome to Exolore, the show that helps you imagine other worlds with facts and science. I am your host, Dr. Moya McTeer. I'm an astrophysicist who studied pretty much everything in space, from planetary orbits to the radiation left over from the Big Bang to star formation and black holes and galaxy evolution. But I am especially interested in the motion of stars and how that affects the habitability of exoplanets, which are planets outside of our solar system. I am also a folklorist who specializes in building and analyzing fictional worlds, and this podcast is my way of sharing those worlds and that knowledge with you. So let's get started. The episode you're about to listen to was recorded live at Caveat in New York City on November 2nd, which was Election Day. So yay, democracy. But thank you so much to Caveat for hosting. Thank you to everyone who showed up in the audience and watched on the live stream. And I hope that you enjoy listening to this as much as I really enjoyed saying everything in this episode. It was such a blast to be on a stage in front of people talking about one of my favorite shows. So let's just get to the episode, shall we?
Hey everyone, welcome to Caveat. How y'all doing tonight? Woo! Thank you so much. We're so excited to see you.
Please welcome to the stage astrophysicist, folklorist, and host of Exolore, Dr. Moya McTeer.
Hello, hello everyone. It's so good to be back at Caveat with the live Exolore recording. Thank you to all of you who came here in person. You look so nice with your masks. I don't know what the bottom of your faces look like, but you have beautiful eyes. And thank you to everyone who's watching on the live stream. I have no idea how many of you there are, but I'm just assuming there are like thousands of you. And I am excited to get the show going. So today is all about Stargate. It's one of my favorite sci-fi franchises. There's a story to how I got here, standing on this stage today. Some of the people who are working in the back of the room probably remember a time before Exolore was a podcast, when it was a live show here on March 8th, 2020. Does that date ring a bell to anyone? It was approximately, almost exactly one pandemic ago. And like so many other people around the world during this pandemic, I kept myself sane by watching a lot of TV. I watched every single episode of New Girl twice. I binged my way through way too many seasons of Love Island. Have any of you ever seen Love Island? Thank you, people in the back. Every season has like 60 episodes in it, so I have watched a lot of TV. But most of the TV, if you've been paying any attention to my Twitter or if you listen to some Exolore episodes, you'll know that most of my TV watching was Stargate. I tweeted a lot about my opinions on Stargate. You know, why do they only speak English when they meet these aliens? I got really annoyed when Jack just always told Daniel that mythology wasn't important and asked him why he was talking about myths all the time. It's because he's an archaeologist and they're literally standing on planets that are proxies for ancient societies who have myths that we still study today. Like, that's why, Jack. There was a time that I asked how the physics of stargates work, and then an actual producer on the show messaged me to tell me that they figured out the physics of how these things would work, how these stable wormholes would actually work. So I tweeted a lot about Stargate, and I wanted to talk to you all about it. I wanted to put together an Exolore episode, but I did not want to do it alone because I don't want to just stand up here and talk at you for an hour. So I invited two of my friends to stand up here and talk at you for an hour with me. Those two friends are standing by. They are from very far away. I had to build a Stargate specifically for this show, and they are gating in, but they're coming from like a different galaxy. So they're taking a really long time to pass through this wormhole, but they'll be here soon, I think. Hopefully. Woo! I think our guests should be walking through the Stargate at any moment. Woo! Hello. Welcome. Everyone, welcome Eric Silver, one of the amazing people in charge over at Multitude Productions. That's the podcast collective that Exolore is a part of. And here we have Dr. Rob Frawley, who got his PhD in biophysics, but there's more of a story around it if you want to learn more about what he studied in grad school. Eric, thanks for being here. Want to say more about what you do? What do you do?
Absolutely. What I like about this stage is that it looks like we're going to draft someone in the second round of the NBA, of like the NFL, and you're going to like expose me for all the misdeeds I did to Rob earlier.
Yeah, that could be what the show's about. Just you wait.
Oh, wonderful. Great. I appreciate this being a caveat honeypot where I go to Manhattan at 9:30 p.m. Hi, I am Eric Silver. I'm the Dungeon Master of Join the Party, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons show, which I think is pretty cool and okay. You should all go watch it. I see all of you definitely going to your phones and subscribing to it right now. It's great. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, do that. It's a great show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm just happy to be here, Moya. This is wonderful.
Aw, thanks for agreeing to be here, Eric. Rob, Dr. Rob, what about you? What do you do?
Sure. So I am a recovering biophysicist. I got a doctorate in biophysics working in orthopedic cell biology. I now teach science primarily as a science educator with BioBus, an outreach. Yeah.
Yeah, you really can clap cool. at that.
Bus full of microscopes. We go around New York City. We teach K-12 and college students different aspects of biology with hands-on science learning. And that's my full-time thing. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I am just so...
Blasphemer.
Wait.
That's the wrong one.
Hold on. I'm ready. Okay.
Oh, nice. I got a little costume change
ready
here.
We are. Okay.
You're dressed as one of the big fucking nerds on Stargate?
Because the nerdy people on Stargate probably do dress up as Yoda.
That's actually... Fair point, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm in an interesting place in Stargate, so I've known about the show, but at Moya's advice, I began binging this pandemic, and I am exactly halfway through SG-1.
Not exactly.
Not exactly. I'm in season 5, episode 10, so I am like 5 seasons and 12 episodes from finishing.
Yeah, those of you who have watched all of Stargate know that it's an important distinction between where Rob is and exactly halfway through the show, because something big happens at the end of season 5, but I'm not going to tell you what.
I'm so terrified. I brought noise-canceling headphones in case there are any spoilers tonight.
Okay, great. I make no promises. There will probably be some spoilers. Eric, what is your relationship to Stargate?
Great question. Thank you. Again, and the Denver Broncos selects. I started watching Stargate in the beginning of the pandemic. I really didn't want to interact with like anything American made. And I'm just like, oh, Canadian, close enough. That's fine. You've been talking about Stargate for a while. So I watched like all the episodes back in March 2020. That feels like 20 years ago.
So basically.
I'm not sure how much I remember, but I will do my best in this Stargate-related podcast live show that we're doing.
Awesome. Well, I am so happy to have you both here. Luckily for you, and I think everyone in the audience, I am going to give a 101, a Stargate 101, to catch us all up on the basics of Stargate, because I feel like some of you might just be here to see our smiling faces and not because you're fans of the show. So I just want to make sure we all are on the same page. Stargate is a storied franchise. It started in 1994 with this movie with Kurt Russell and James Spader, Total Dreamboats. The point of the movie was that they found this Stargate, this big device that could instantly transport them to other alien planets. And then, because they're American military men, they go to these other planets and interfere a lot. And that's kind of the point of the whole show. They go to other planets and they interfere with stuff they have going on. After the movie, it was reborn as a show in 1997 with the Richard Dean Anderson. Does anyone know who that is? Okay, I hear some quiet giggles from people who are smart enough to have watched 80s television and know that Richard Dean Anderson is MacGyver. So they do actually make a MacGyver reference in like the first or second episode of Stargate, and it is worth watching just for that if you want to. And then you can watch like 250 more episodes after it because you'll get sucked in, I promise.
Waiting for the next MacGyver reference.
Mm-hmm, and it will never come. But it's still
Wait,
worth
is
it.
Is that not the important thing that happens at the end of the 5th season?
No, I'm not telling. It's a secret. It's a secret.
When they Stargate together, they put a Stargate together with chewing chewing gum, a lighter, and some twine.
Yes, that's exactly what happens. I'm sorry to have ruined it for you, Rob. So that's Stargate SG-1. They are the first Stargate team. There are other Stargate teams. It goes up to like 30. They start collaborating with people around the world. So they are not the only SG team, but they are the most important. They're the flagship team. After 8 seasons, they made a spinoff called Stargate Atlantis, which has Jason Momoa in it as Ronan Dex. It's really the only reason you need to watch the show. But the other characters are also very charming. It did take me a while to get into it. It's 5 seasons long, but after season 2, I would say I was hooked. But you do have to kind of get to that point. You have to put up with a lot before you get there. Then they came out with Stargate Universe, which I'll be honest, I have not seen, and I didn't realize it had Rumpelstiltskin from Once Upon a Time in it, but it does.
Great reference. Wonderful.
Right? Like, I can't see him as anything other than Rumpelstiltskin, and I keep expecting that when I watch Stargate Universe, he's going to ask someone to give up their firstborn for some spun golden thread or something. Like, that's probably what Stargate Universe is about. It's canon now.
Is Stargate Universe part of the Once Upon a Time extended universe? It could be.
It could be. They talk a lot about mythology. Maybe there's some folklore in it, too.
And then Snow White shows up.
Snow White is a ghoul.
With her very, very small haircut.
Yeah.
He does look like if David Spade was able to live forever, though.
Ooh. I see it. I like it. And I'm a little scared of it. So Stargate went on. It had other movies. It had video games. They're doing a reboot right now where they're doing a cast reading of a script of Stargate that was written by artificial intelligence. Have you seen this? That's a real thing that they are doing. And I hate it, but I want to see it right now. So that's the Stargate franchise. And over the course of this franchise, they cover more
Moya,
than...
excuse me.
What?
Why is he... I like that your ears have notation on
what?
It. You can't write it. You're such a scientist.
I use scientific notation. Do you really want me to write out 100 million using all the zeros? It would take up all the space.
Yes! You put a Game Boy game on that no one has played, and you're like, no. Gotta save space with the zeros. You gotta give it... Hilarious. I'm just enjoying this. I'm having a great time.
Thanks, Eric. I maintain that scientific notation is the most efficient way to give you the timeline of the Stargate universe. And I see. Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
I think it's a more accurate log.
This is a nerdy place, so that kind of joke is welcome here. All right, so the Stargate franchise covers more than 50 million years of history. This is one of my favorite things about the show. They didn't just start 40 years ago when they found the Stargate and like put a world together from there. No, they thought about how this all would work together. So I'm going to go through the timeline, starting with more than 50 million years ago, let's say 100 million years ago, there were humans in a distant galaxy that they never really name in the show. They just kind of call it the Ori Galaxy. But they started to evolve. They developed special powers, and they eventually, some of them, learned how to ascend to a higher plane of existence where they no longer needed physical bodies and they could just exist as like floating blobs. It's pretty when you see it on screen, but that is the ancients who were the good people who ascended and the Ori who end up being the bad people who ascended. So these all came from the same group of humans who had evolved beyond where we currently are. But they diverged in their understanding of what it takes to ascend. So the ancients got to that point by studying science and using the scientific method to understand how they can manipulate the world around them. Whereas the Ori went the religion route. So I really like that over the course of Stargate, they come up with this dig at religion over science.
I like how subtle the themes are.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of Stargate.
Yeah, you have to watch to get it all.
You have to watch and you have to understand it because it's just like, hey, I don't know if you could tell, but like one of these groups of people are the good guys and the other one's bad, but there's no way for you to tell other than science and religion.
Right.
You can't figure it out. It's really subtle. I don't know if you've noticed.
Super subtle. You'll get there.
Well, they hint at it actually, because even in what I've seen, there's a planet that was like, we were put here and like, no, we came through a gate. And that's like kind of the lot, like, evidence-based versus like story-based, like where we are now.
Yeah, you're right. They do hint at it.
They build it up over the first 5 seasons.
Nice.
But I had no idea any of this happened. So this It's big for me.
Aw. This is Rob's Stargate midterm. Once he finishes the show, we're going to talk again, and he'll have his Stargate final. Okay, so 50 million years ago, the Ori and the Ancients split. The Ancients spent thousands of years in a spaceship coming to the Milky Way. Now, because I don't know which galaxy they came from, I don't know exactly how long it took them or, you know, how fast they must have been traveling, but they came to the Milky Way and started spreading their human DNA around different planets. Gross.
DNA Bay.
Just sprinkling it on there. And I really like this because this is how they explain why there are so many humanoid aliens around the universe in the Stargate franchise. It's because all of the humanoid creatures were descended from this DNA left by ancient humans. So it makes sense. You know, I like that they're building in the rationale for their decisions. Oh, they also built the Stargate system. That's an important thing. They came to the Milky Way, they seed all this human DNA, and they build the Stargate system. They're there for a long time. It takes them several tens of millions of years to build out this system, but then they come across this plague. And they never really say what this plague is, but it scares the ancients enough that they have to leave the Milky Way and go to yet another galaxy called the Pegasus Galaxy, where they, again, established a Stargate network and then spread around human DNA. They're just going everywhere and spreading their DNA on these planets that didn't ask for it.
How did they have time to make the Stargates if they were just spreading their DNA everywhere?
I don't know.
Also, I really wish you had warned me about the plague that was coming. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get lost in some sci-fi stuff. Oh, there's a mysterious plague that kills everything. It's fine. It's a comfort watch. Really would have appreciated you giving me a heads up on that.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of plagues and sicknesses that I think Rob's gonna tell us about a little bit later.
Yeah, it's not the escapist retreat you thought it was during the pandemic.
No, it's not. I remember we'll get to it, but the first pandemic episode they have, that was rough to watch in quarantine. Yeah.
Thank you. Again, thank you for not telling us about this as recommending the show.
You're welcome. Okay, so they go to the Pegasus Galaxy. They spend several million years there, but about 10,000 years ago, a little bit more than that, they awaken the Wraith. The Wraith are another alien species in the Pegasus Galaxy, and they are pretty hostile. They actually eat human life force. It's like vampires, but with your time instead of your blood. They don't super explain how it works, but it's a war. The Wraith and the Ancients fight a war for 100 years that the Ancients actually lose. They have much better technology, but they're totally outnumbered by all of the Wraith. So the few Ancients who remain then turn tail and come back to the Milky Way to stay safe, I guess. But about 10,000 years ago, around the same time, the Goa'uld also found Earth. This is a Goa'uld named Ra who came and discovered this plethora, this like total abundance of humans that he could enslave, and he did. And so that is what set up like ancient Egyptian dynasties. It was this Goa'uld posing as a god who got a bunch of humans to do stuff for him.
Wait, Moya, this guy's name is Ra, like the god.
Like the god, except it's a little unclear to me. I think that he is actually like the one who gives them the idea of Ra, because the ancient Egyptian civilization started like 5, maybe 6,000 years ago, and this is before that.
No, I just wanted to point out they have the same name. I thought it was a coincidence, but thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah. There's tons of people named Rob, so it also may not be a big deal. Like,
yeah, I'm sure Ra is a super common name 10,000 years ago.
Yeah, I thought you said Rob. His name is Ra. Dr. Ra.
Dr. Ra Frawley, everyone. Okay, anything else? Oh, yes. Okay, so I'm gonna go faster through this timeline. 4,000 years ago is when the humans overthrew the Goa'uld, who were enslaving them, mostly in ancient Egypt, and then nothing happens for a very long time until 90 years ago in the 1930s when humans on Earth find the buried Stargate at Giza. And then it took them another like 60 years to actually learn how to work the Stargate. And this was thanks to Dr. Samantha Carter, a very accomplished astrophysicist and also Air Force person, who did the math and the science to figure out how to make this giant ring of ancient alien technology work to establish a stable wormhole. This is something that physicists don't know how to do yet, and Dr. Carter figured it out because she's brilliant and she's a badass, and I love her so much. And Daniel Jackson, Dr. Daniel Jackson, figured out like the symbols on it so that they could read this thing that Dr. Carter got working. And that's how Stargate works. That's the whole timeline. Anything to add?
Yeah, Moya, can you go back one clip to show the this? Yep. Can I just tell people this is what Dune is about?
So yeah.
I don't have to see it.
Yes, you can.
I was like, oh yeah, this is Dune. You don't remember when Ra showed up and everyone found the Stargates?
Yeah, those big sandworms, they actually travel through the Stargates buried under the sand.
Yeah, Timothée Chalamet and Dr. Samantha Carter.
All I know about Dune is Duncan, Idaho. That's what everyone has been saying on Twitter.
Right, and Jason Momoa is in it. It all fits together.
Oh, he's Duncan, Idaho?
That's
oh,
Duncan,
nice.
Idaho.
Oh, great. Okay, yes, you can absolutely tell people that this is Dune.
Okay, great.
Please
thank
do.
You.
All right. Now the big question that I'm sure all of you are wondering, coming to a show about Stargate, how does a Stargate actually work? Well, it's a piece of ancient alien technology, and that's not me just saying it's really old. I mean, it was actually invented by an ancient, like one of those species of alien, specifically an ancient named Amelius. And he invented it, he had a dream of it the night before he and the other ancients left the Pegasus Galaxy to come to the Milky Way after being defeated by the Wraith.
This is like Doc Brown's flux capacitor when he fell off the toilet.
It's a nice little sketch.
For the sci-fi or the fantasy crossover, but
sure. Yeah, Marty's going to use it to go to prom?
Yeah.
They can time travel using the Stargate. So they invented it. The way that it works is you have two gates. Neither one of them sends to a fixed location in space. But by using the symbols, the chevrons around the ring of the Stargate, you can dial an address. So you can form a connection between another Stargate out there in the galaxy or the universe. They can go between galaxies too, if they have enough power. It opens a stable wormhole, and before it does that, because it takes so much energy, what you get is this unstable vortex that Dr. Carter nicknames the Kawoosh, and that's this big like ocean type thing that comes out in front of the Stargate and totally like incinerates anything it comes in contact with. There are a couple times when they kill bad guys by pushing them into the Kawoosh, and I think that that's just really resourceful of them.
I just think that's neat.
Yeah.
When the people die.
Eric Silver, you heard it here, folks, thinks it's neat when people die.
Yeah, this is my first live show in 2 years. I need to give the people what they want.
Yes. So when you go through a Stargate, you're not just traveling as your human self. You are actually dematerialized. You're broken down into all of your component parts. As soon as you cross the event horizon, that's the thing that looks like a nice standing pond in the middle of the Stargate. And then once you get to the other side, after passing through this wormhole, the Stargate on the other end rematerializes you. So you are destroyed and then put back together. And the Stargate team does that like hundreds of times. And there is an episode, I think in season 3, where they start to think that maybe this has some adverse effects on people. They think that Daniel goes a little insane because he's gone through the Stargate too many times, but actually he's just brought back a weird little alien parasite. It happens.
Intelligently designed, no less. Yeah.
Yes, no less.
No, that's the religious one.
Yes, that's the Ori. Get it right,
the
Rob.
The themes are very subtle. I don't know if you got it, but one of them believes in God, so the other one is science. And we do not know which one is better or not. It's very subtle.
It's very subtle. The Stargates only work one way, so if you walk through a Stargate, you can't just change your mind and then turn around because it will not work. The destination Stargate only knows how to put you back together. It doesn't know how to take you apart. The only thing that can go both ways through a Stargate wormhole is radiation. So you can send radio messages. There is an episode where a radio-based electromagnetic creature comes through the Stargate unexpectedly, but they also have this really cool iris thing, like a very strong shield that they can close, and anything that comes through the Stargate just gets smushed immediately upon contact.
It's interesting. Stargate was actually, because of that episode, it was the first documented podcast. Great joke. All right, let's keep it going. All right.
You can explain it to me later.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
You totally did. You're doing great.
Thank you.
This is one of my favorite things about the Stargate franchise. The fact that you can be instantly transported to another world instead of having to be on a spaceship for a really long time. So many of the other popular sci-fi franchises like Battlestar Galactica or Stargate or Star Wars, I can go on, all of the stars, they involve spaceships. And when I watch someone on a spaceship, I just get really stressed. I'm just like, what's going to happen to the spaceship? Something's going to destroy the hull. The pressure is going to collapse. They're going to lose their atmosphere. I just get so stressed watching spaceships that I really like that they can just go to a new world on Stargate. And it's not dangerous at all. All you have to do is have your body taken apart and then put back together by technology that's tens of millions of years old. It's not dangerous.
For being a really physics-based show, when they are in spaceships, they really break a lot of rules, though.
Mm.
Like, not to bash, but...
Well, you probably haven't gotten to the point where it's super... It gets more spaceship-heavy. I think that happens later in the show.
Ah, okay, no.
So it'll come. Check out the other shows that are part of the Multitude Collective, like Horse. Horse is a podcast about ridiculous stories, internet drama, and some of the biggest and baddest personalities out there today, all from the world of basketball. Hosts Adam Mamawala and Mike Schubert want the world to know how unbelievable the history and culture of basketball are. So even if you don't like watching the sport, there's still something for you in this show. Whether it's a shot-by-shot breakdown of Get Your Head in the Game from the High School Musical soundtrack, or a thorough discussion of the best and worst food at NBA arenas, the Horse Boys have got you covered. New episodes release every other Monday, so just search Horse in your podcast app or check out horsehoops.com. That's Horse, H-O-R-S-E, because basketball is more than what happens on the court. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, because escaping to fictional worlds can be nice, but sometimes you need to talk things out with a caring professional. BetterHelp is not a crisis line, and it's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. When you sign up, you can start talking to a counselor in under 48 hours. And if it's not a great fit, they make it really easy to switch to a new counselor without any uncomfortable or awkward breakup conversations. BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available because they want to help you start living a happier life today, regardless of your financial status. BetterHelp is giving a special offer to Exolore listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/exolore. That's betterhelp.com/exolore. So join the more than 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health and get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/exolore. Every single time I record a new episode of Exolore, there's always so much stuff that I don't get to say. There's extra context about scientific phenomena or just extra reading and resources about something that we talk about in the episode. But I don't have enough time in an hour to give all of that to you. So every time I share a new episode with my patrons, I include a link to extra resources, stuff that I feel is relevant when I re-listen to the episodes in the editing process. For example, this episode was a live show at Caveat in New York City. So I had a slideshow, I had a presentation. And if you join my Patreon, then you can get access to those slides. Also to the set of bingo cards that I gave out as a prize for one of the games in this show. So head on over to patreon.com/exolorepod. For just $2 a month, you get access to all of these extra reading resources and the slides that I put together for my presentations. Here are some of the major players in Stargate, because I've said like Wraith and Ori and Ancients, but I haven't explained who they are really. So let's go through this really nice graphic that I didn't even have to make. I just found it online. So the major players that we have in the Stargate universe are, of course, the Earthlings. We are the center of the universe. We're the most important and most interesting. We have to be everywhere. So the Earthlings in Stargate are called Tauri. This is the name that ancient Gua'uld, who came to Earth and took a bunch of humans as slaves, gave to the people of our planet. And we have a few allies in this world. First, the Asgard. That's that little gray-looking, big-headed alien over near the right of the graphic. And Asgard are modeled after ancient Norse gods. So the most common one that we see on the show is Thor, named after the Norse god of thunder and lightning. And they help for the most part. But they also have the Ancients, who I told you about, and the Nox, who only appear in like one or two episodes, but they are pretty isolationist. They like to stay out of everyone else's drama, and I respect that. But they also have the ability to literally bring people back from the dead by like praying over them or like waving their hands. It's pretty cool.
Feels OP. I don't like it.
It's a little bit Ori-ish. Too much religion there.
Yeah, they had to patch out the Nox because they were too powerful.
Yeah, they were.
They've kind of got like that whole like hippie draft dodger, non-combative like energy, and I think it just didn't fit.
Yeah, but. not when the rest of the show is so driven by the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
Which Eric will talk about.
Yeah, because I love, you're pointing like, yeah, Eric loves the troops. The road Eric to talk about.
For the enemies, we have the Goa'uld. These are snake-like, parasitic aliens. They evolved on a planet where they learned how to take on hosts, because they're totally useless by themselves. They're just little snakes. They can't even live outside of like a water environment.
They jump surprisingly high.
That's true. That's true, yeah. But they need to take hosts, living hosts, to actually walk around and manipulate the world around them. And then for 10,000 years, they take over most of our galaxy by scavenging other aliens' tech. So they scavenge some of the Asgard tech and some of the ancient tech. They take over the Stargate system and start convincing people that they are gods, and they built the Stargates themselves. They're just liars.
What I really like about this image is that this one looks like Olmec from Legends of the Hidden Temple. This gold is going to take over the multiverse with the blue barracudas, apparently. And I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, they couldn't just show like the snake thing, as that would have been underwhelming in that picture.
I understand that, and we're going to go to the steps of knowledge after this and determine which of us are going to win. Yes. I want to go to space camp, boy. Okay. Don't talk about them.
We will get Eric to space camp by the end of this episode. The Wraith are in the Pegasus Galaxy, mostly, almost exclusively in Stargate Atlantis, which unfortunately I'm not going to talk about much in this show. But then you also have the Replicators. These are tiny little electronic beings that can work together to copy themselves. And eventually they do become sentient conscious machines. So it's pretty cool if you can get that far.
Spoilers.
There's so many spoilers here, and I'm not sorry about it. The major players in the Stargate universe. These are the characters that you need to know and care about. First up, we have Teal'c, the lovable but hard-hitting alien who was once the first prime of Apophis. That's one of the Goa'uld who, for quite a while, ruled over most of the Milky Way galaxy. He for a long time believed that the Goa'uld were false gods, and then when SG-1 came and gave him the opportunity to join their team, he did. And now he is my favorite character. He's so great. He doesn't smile often, but when he does, it melts your heart.
It's worth it. So nice.
Yeah, it's really worth it. Next, we have Dr. Samantha Carter, who is a brilliant astrophysicist, also works her way up to the rank of lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, and got the Stargate working. And then every single time something goes wrong in an episode, it's probably going to be Sam who fixes it, because she's the only person who knows science on the team. So she solves a lot of problems. Now you have Jack, who has the amazing leadership quality of knowing that he is not as smart as everyone else on his team. So he is really good at letting them play to their strengths. And he is a good leader, but he's a career military man. So that's what he brings to the table. He likes to shoot things. He does that a lot. And then we have Daniel, who is an archaeologist, an Egyptologist, and a linguist. He does all the people stuff. So when they go to a new planet and they meet new aliens for the first time, he's their diplomatic vanguard person. He goes and meets them and never really has to translate anything that he says to them because they all miraculously speak English. And then there's General George Hammond, and this is God.
I don't like how the military just showed up on the slide.
So my hot take. This is my hot take about who is hot in the Stargate universe. Is that General George Hammond, played by Don S. Davis, is an absolute fox. I think that he looks like a sexy turtle, and I think that more people need to know this about General Hammond. There's this episode where the like some government person tries to take an alien away from the Stargate command base. And General Hammond doesn't want to do this. And he says in his thick Texas accent, he's like, as long as I'm in charge of this base, we're going to hold ourselves to the highest ethical standard. And I know that that's a terrible Texas accent, but it's just really sexy when it comes out of his mouth, because like morals and the uniform and the accent, it's just hard to resist that.
I get so hype whenever he says, you have a go.
Oh, yeah.
Just boom. Let's do it.
Right there.
Yeah.
A little bit lower, too, sometimes.
And maybe one other person, I think, got it, too.
All right. So now we're going to play a game. You all can play, too, but it is primarily for the two people up here. So it's going to be Rob versus Eric versus you. And if none of you get it, then I get the point.
Ooh. No, but I want the points.
Well, then you have to get the answer right.
Moya, I want to acknowledge that you used the Who's That Pokemon.
Yes, I did.
I just wanted to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Who's that patient? It's Jigglypuff.
Yeah,
I'm going to say Jigglypuff.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to name a terrible illness or fate that befalls one or more of the SG-1 team members. Here are your options. You have Jack, Sam, Daniel, and Teal'c. This is the first ill I'm going to ask you. The first patient you have to name. This person was infected with nanobots and prematurely aged by several decades. Do either of you know who it is?
This is totally off the top of my head, and I didn't get this because someone in the audience said it. I'm going to go with Jack.
Oh.
Alex Trebek.
Yes. Who is Jack?
Who is Jack?
Do you have a different answer?
No, I have the same answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Jack.
Wow, Harris. So good. So, Ra, you are so
like
smart.
We all have ears. Yes, so in the 9th episode of the first season, Jack catches aging nanites from a sexual encounter with an alien on a planet called Argos. This is, to my knowledge, the only STD that they have on Stargate, but I think that's because in season 1, it was an HBO show. There's like actual full frontal nudity in the first season.
So I'll point out that on most streaming services, there is not. They've cut it out. However, every episode is marked with nudity in the top left corner, and you think, maybe this is the one. It's not.
It never comes.
Thousands of people listening to this podcast.
Thousands. How many zeros is that, Eric?
Oh, if only I had the notation for that. I need someone to cut together Jack getting the STD with the coach from Mean Girls going, you will get an STD and you will die. You will have a sexual encounter with an Argosian and you will die.
Oh, that'd be so great. Maybe he's on, what's the thing where you can get celebrities to say little snippets for you?
Oh, on Cameo?
Cameo, yeah. Maybe he's on Cameo and we can get him to say it.
Wonderful. And if anything, we could always go on and ask TJ Lavin, host of The Challenge, to say it if needed.
That's a solid plan B. All right. Are you ready to name your next patient?
Yes.
Okay. Number two. This person, or people, was stung by a giant bug and forced to incubate its larvae.
Damn. I'm gonna say this one's Daniel.
Daniel?
This is
okay.
Daniel.
I remember Teal'c wrapped in a like web in a warehouse where he was incubating larvae, I think. So I'm going Teal'c.
Teal'c, final answer?
Oh no, was this a different episode where Teal'c was incubating larvae? I'd hate to get them confused.
It's Teal'c!
Oh damn. Yeah.
Congrats. Okay, that's 1 point Rob, one Boom. Point no one, because everyone got it. All right, number three. This person, or people, were mind controlled by the Goa'uld Hathor's pink mist that she would just very sexually blow out of her mouth.
Oh, thank you for the cue. Yeah, yeah. That would... Yeah, that was my main man who loves to get STDs all the time. That was his main thing. So, yeah, it was him. Yeah. I'm going with Jack, yes.
Jack,
thank you.
Okay. And Rob?
I think Jack and Daniel to different degrees mm-hmm. in this episode.
All right.
Yeah.
It was Jack and Daniel. Yes, it was both of them. So Hathor is the Egyptian goddess of sex and music and alcohol. She's like the goddess of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And mm-hmm. she comes onto the show as a Goa'uld, who is a queen Goa'uld. And so she wants to take some human DNA to produce more Goa'uld larvae. And she decides that she wants Daniel to be the father of all of her little Goa'uld babies. And so she uses this pink mist to take over all of the men's minds. lines on Stargate Command. And so Teal'c is protected by his symbiote, and Sam is protected because she's a woman, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Moya, women don't like other women. What are you talking about?
Oh, that was what was missing for me. I forgot that rule that women can only be attracted
to
men.
Ladies don't like ladies.
No, there's none of that.
No, you totally forgot.
Not in
about
the Stargate
that.
World. Okay. So number three is where we deny that ladies can like ladies. And number four, we have this person or people was infected by a parasite that makes victims really, really sleepy until they eventually die from a stroke.
I think it was everyone except for Teal, because I feel like this was a human thing. Mm. Like, they got, like, only humans were susceptible to this parasite, and that's why they got it.
That's a solid guess, because Teal'c's symbiote protects him from a lot. Yeah. Do you have a guess, Rob?
I feel like I don't know this one at all. And so I'm trying to think of who would be the least obvious if they got sleepy and like still continued working. And I kind of feel like Jack could get away with it for like most of an episode. So I'm going to say Jack.
Because he's just sleepy usually.
Yeah, just like when he's like kind of like, yeah. So that's my guess, but I don't know.
Okay, so you're saying Jack. You're saying everyone but Teal'c.
All the humans, yes.
All the humans. Any audience guesses? I'm looking at this table.
You guys can say Jiggly. You guys can say Jigglypuff too if you need to.
Do you know it?
I'm gonna guess Daniel.
Daniel. Okay.
Whoa! Let's go.
So this is from season 10, episode 2.
Oh no! Wait, I got this wrong.
You did get this wrong. No one got this right, which means it's a point for me.
Yeah. Specifically, I got it more wrong than you.
True.
I'll take that point.
True.
I was so close.
Eric, you can get half a point for that one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm not keeping track of points. This has turned into whose line is it anyway? so the points don't really matter. But in season 10, episode 2, SG-1 falls prey to the curse of Morgan Le Fay, which is very interesting. It's a parasite that crawls into your brain, feeds on serotonin and melatonin until it physically gets so big that it squishes your brain into your skull and you die of a stroke. Jeez. So the way to do this, like if you fall asleep, then it'll just gorge itself on all the melatonin you produce. Yeah, there is a reason that Jack did not get this particular parasite that I can't tell you while Rob is on the stage.
Was he having sex again?
Yep.
It was all the STDs he had. This is like early 20th century medicine. They're like, oh, if you have syphilis, it keeps you from getting the flu. So that's what this was?
Yeah, this is the one time when Jack's sexual proclivities kept him from getting an illness. Yeah, he was setting
a dangerous lesson for all the teenagers watching. But
have sex and you won't get alien parasites. Number five, this person contracts extreme radiation poisoning after exposure to a Nequadria bomb.
Oh, of course. Everyone knows I'm Jigglypuff.
If no one else gets it, I will give you Jigglypuff.
Yes.
Is Nequadria like a Naquita atom, but in four? Because I've never heard of it.
Yeah, Nequadria is like an offshoot of Naquita.
Okay. Sam.
Sam?
Because the Tinkers.
Because the Tinkers?
Because she got the Tinkers. You know, she's tinkering and then...
Oh, in her lab. In she bomb. Does the Tinkers.
She's exposing herself to the radiation poisoning. Mm, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Jigglypuff uses Sing and everyone goes to sleep.
Oh, no, that's the parasite from the last one.
Right.
Any audience guesses?
Daniel Jackson.
Yeah, it's Daniel Jackson. Nequadria is... I like this whole thing about Nequadria and Naquita. These are two elements that exist in the franchise but don't exist on Earth. And I just really like that they're... Yet. Good point. Yeah. I really like that they're bringing this into the world building because it's really easy to assume that every planet, especially if they're so similar, right? Like they go to all these planets and they look like the Pacific Northwest because they're all shot in Vancouver. But like, I really enjoy the fact that there are different elements on each of these worlds because that's what we would expect to happen out there as planets form naturally. There would be different distributions of elements in different planets. Number six, this person was taken over by an electronic alien that hacks into SGC's system.
Oh, this one like really spoke to me as quite, well, I'll say Sam.
Okay. Sam, final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
Cool. And what it spoke to you?
Yeah, it was such an interesting, like, totally different type of sci-fi, but like the conversion of intelligence sort of like premise that it had. I found it really, really interesting from a neuroscience point of view.
Yeah, it was cool. Do you have a guess, Eric?
Yeah, I also thought it was interesting from a neuroscience point of view. And also it was really tight as fuck when all like the effects did that cool shit. And yeah, it was them.
Yes, it's Sam. Yay. You both get a point.
Yeah, so this is it's a podcast because it's radio waves. That was the that was the joke.
Yes.
And I killed the second time I
good
said
job.
It.
Good job.
There you go.
Yes, this is the being that I told you came through the gate unexpectedly because it was made out of electromagnetic radiation, so it can go both ways through the gate. I like how they play with gate physics in some of these episodes. All right, finally, number 7. This person was duplicated as a sentient robot, like cloned as a robot. God.
I wonder why you think this is an affliction.
You're right. You're right. That's my human bias showing.
This is tough because this is like this was a trope in so much stuff that I cannot remember which of these tropey characters we have in front of us. White guy, scientist, other white guy, and alien we have. So I can't remember which one.
So okay. I would have had trouble except I just watched the callback episode.
Oh, nice.
But so it was the whole cast of 4
that got cloned up. It was all of them. It was the whole team. So in season 1, episode 19.
That's why I remembered all of them, because it was all of them.
Because it was all of them, exactly. Your memory is there. It's just a little bit
fuzzy.
I'm
working on it. I'm trying.
So in season 1, episode 19, we're introduced to who I think might be everyone's favorite alien in Stargate, Harlan Comtria. Oh, I love Harlan so much. He's just trying to save his planet. His planet has been destroyed. He now lives in this like weird underground bunker type thing, and he has to maintain all of the electronics himself, and he just wants some more friends and some help. He's just trying to live. Leave Harlan alone. I love Harlan. All right, that is a wrap on part 1 of this live Stargate show. I hope you enjoyed hearing about the timeline of the Stargate franchise universe and about some of the inflictions that SG-1 and other people in Stargate Command faced throughout the show. Come back in a couple of weeks for part 2, where we'll be discussing the things that we loved and, I'm not going to say hated, but disliked about the world building in Stargate, and we'll be discussing some of our favorite worlds featured in the show. To my listeners in the US, I hope you have an amazing, happy, relaxing Thanksgiving break, and to everyone in the world, Comtria! This episode of ExoLore was edited by Misha Stanton. The cover art is by Stephen J. Reisig. The music is from purpleplanet.com. And when I can get around to it, the transcripts are by Ayesar Moss. I really need to get on that. If you want to support the show, and I hope you do, there are a few ways you can do that. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. You can support me monthly with your money at patreon.com/exolorepod. But really, the best way to help me grow this show is to share episodes with your friends. So if you know someone who likes Stargate or sci-fi or space, or if you think they should be watching Stargate, please share this episode with them and come back in another couple of weeks. An easy way to make sure you don't miss part 2 is to subscribe to the show, because that way you can catch me next time on another world.